Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I detect so much hope and expectation, so much joy in our readings for this third Sunday of Advent. Paul encourages us to be in that joy always. This, as you can tell, is Rose Sunday. Isn't it beautiful? It's traditionally known as, and I hope I get this pronunciation correct, Gaudet Sunday. Gaudet is Greek for rejoice. So this is our week of joy, and we are so blessed to have the young folks. It was Liam and Lily this morning, wasn't it, who lit the rose candle and the others for us this morning. So the Rose Sunday, that means we're getting close. We're getting close to the celebration of Christmas. This week's theme reflects a lightening of the traditional Advent observation. It's a bit of a break. It's not quite like the Sundays in Lent. We still have to maintain the observance. But traditionally also, and I forgot to check what the time period was that this tradition started, but on this Sunday, people and congregations would actually place a rose on the wreath as a marking of that Sunday. And then it's replaced as symbolically with the rose candle. And that's a joyful sight. It reflects the joy in our lives. The scriptures reflect this joy. Isaiah 61. We hear of healing for the heartbroken, liberty to the captives, release of the prisoners, comfort to those who mourn, gladness instead of mourning. We read about actions as well, like building up, repairing, and fulfillment. In Psalm 126, we read of restoring fortunes and transforming tears into joy. And Paul's reminder to the Thessalonians, rejoice always. All this hope and expectation of healing and restoration comes with knowing Jesus Christ. John the Baptist knew this hope and this light to come into the world. He prophesied to it, he was a witness to it, and he testified to it. And this is all in John chapter 1. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. John did all this while humbly and lovingly serving God. He preached to the people. He taught the people and his own close disciples. And he baptized the people, thousands of them. The people who were compelled by his message to repent and confess their sins. Through his ministry, John became so popular and well known that the Pharisees and other church leaders wanted to know more about this wilderness man of God. Their questions were, who is he? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Savior and Redeemer of the world? Is this Elijah returning? Or is this the expected next prophet? When he was asked these questions, John could have exalted himself and bragged, and he could have been boastful. But John remained humble. He answered each question almost like his own confession. No, I am not. John confessed he was merely like all of us, a small voice crying out for God. He was preparing the people for someone more important than him and something bigger than all of us. It is noted here in John's Gospel that those asking John these questions who were there were sent by the Pharisees. There's a note of this in the Gospel, so it must be important. And as you recall, the Pharisees are those leaders concerned with the law and with authority. So their next question is not unexpected. Why then are you baptizing if you are neither of these people, the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? In John's answer, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. And to add from Matthew, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We need this Holy Spirit. We need God in our lives. We want our lives restored. We want fulfillment. We desire the light of Christ, the comfort, the gladness, all of this that comes through Jesus Christ. But Paul reminds us in a way that some of these desires we have require action on our part. Paul encourages us to act. These actions are for us to rejoice always, for us to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. These are our acts of faith. We are preparing ourselves, our spirits, our bodies, and our souls for Christ in the world. Now, and at the second coming in power and glory. This is our hope and our expectation. And we give thanks and praise to our Lord and Savior for these gifts and blessings. Amen.